Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 146. My name is Matt, and thanks for tuning in this week to the podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe using your podcatcher of choice. And you can also listen to the show over at podnuts.com and check out all the other great shows on that network as well. If you listen to last week's episode, I told you that we had a date and time now for contact with the International Space Station. And with that, it was supposed to be on Tuesday at 9:15. Well, after this podcast came out, it was released, and on Sunday, we were gearing up for Tuesday's event. And Sunday morning, I received an email saying that due to the SpaceX commercial resupply mission number 17 that launched a day late, that the schedule on the space station was now sort of up up for review, and because of all the capture of the Dragon spacecraft and the unloading of Dragon, that the schedule for the week was going to be kind of crazy, and we were not going to be able to make contact on Tuesday. So, with that, I immediately sent back some other dates and times that we had available for the week and tried to make it happen. So, at first, we were scheduled for Tuesday afternoon and then maybe Wednesday morning. And as time went on, that got pushed back. And then we had an option on Thursday that we could do, Thursday at 10:40. And they basically said to us that we're going to try really hard for you, but it may not be possible. And so there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of people involved. With that, we were in constant communication back and forth for about 4 days, and it looked very likely at one point in time that we were going to make contact on Thursday, and then it ultimately ended up being that we could not do it. So we are currently back in the planning stage. We are looking possibly at the last week of May or the first week in June at this point to toss around some dates and hopefully get this wrapped up before the end of the school year. It has been a stressful process. I won't lie about that. But I do thank Eris and NASA for taking the time to try to make it work this week, even though it didn't work out very well for us this week. So they have promised us that they're going to keep working hard and they're going to make every effort possible to make this happen for this school year so that the kids that are really excited about this at this point can make contact. So we tried our best, and it's still not over with, but we'll kind of go from there. So this week, what I wanted to do is just talk some facts and figures about the International Space Station for all of you. And there's some really interesting things that I've come across over the last few weeks as we gear up for this event. So first of all, the first piece of the International Space Station was launched in November 1998. It was launched aboard a Russian rocket, and it was the control module. And later on, a space shuttle carrying the U.S. Unity node connected the two modules together and sort of started what would become the space station. So over the next 2 years, before the space station was sort of ready for people to live there, they kept adding components with every flight up to, you know, to making it so that it could be habitable by humans, basically. So the first crew arrived on November 2nd, 2000, and has pretty much been occupied ever since. So as these flights kept happening and more pieces were added to the space station, eventually the space station was completed. And the space station itself now is basically the volume of two Boeing 747 jetliners. It can support a crew of up to 6 people plus a few visitors. And on Earth currently, if it was on the ground, it would weigh over 1 million pounds. So it's measured from the edges of its solar arrays on both sides. So it covers the area of basically a football field, including the end zones. So with that, here's some facts about the space station that I found interesting. So 230 people from 18 countries have visited the space station, and it has been continuously occupied since November of 2000. In 24 hours, the space station makes 16 orbits around the Earth. That means 16 sunrises and 16 sunsets. Travels usually around 17,500 miles an hour. And it is not free from Earth's gravity, believe it or not. You may see the astronauts floating around. It's actually a microgravity situation. And basically what orbit is a constant state of free fall that's going fast enough that it just keeps going around the curvature of the Earth and never hits the ground. So that's basically what orbit is, that constant state of free fall revolving around the diameter of the Earth. So the space station itself was assembled over 42 flights, 37 of which were on U.S. space shuttles and 5 on Russian Proton or Soyuz rockets. So it shows you this was truly an international effort and very expensive overall. In fact, considering the completed space station, it is probably the most expensive human endeavor to take place. Currently, in the setup of the space station, 6 spacecraft can be connected to the spaceship at once. So if you think about SpaceX Dragon capsules for the commercial resupply, you have Soyuz capsules, the Proton capsules as well. So up to 6 spacecraft can be connected all at once. The coolest thing that I have found about the space station is that the orbital path can take up to 90% of the Earth's populated areas. So astronauts can take pictures and images from the space station, but more importantly, those of us on the ground, if you catch it at the right time, you can view the space station flying overhead. And if you've never had the opportunity to do that, you can go online, look up International Space Station Tracker, or download the apps on your phone, and it'll tell you exactly when it's going to become into sight, which angle to look up in the sky, and how long it will be passing over your area. If you haven't ever done that, I suggest you do it at least once. And as far as I've heard, even in the most urban of areas, you could see the space station flying overhead because it is one of the brightest objects in the sky, in the night sky. Along with ongoing research on the space station, over 20 different research payloads can be hosted outside the station all at once. And so there's a constant state of, there's a lot of research happening on the space station, which basically makes their schedule very complicated. And that's one of the things that we ran into this week. So if you want to think about it, everything on the space station is timed down to the second for the most part. And each astronaut has a specific duty on board, and they have their own set schedules that are usually created weeks in advance. And if something changes, it's not easy to move things around. So in our case, Thursday was actually a crew holiday. If one of the crew members has a holiday in on board, then the whole crew has a holiday. And with that, only one astronaut was available on Thursday for contact with us, and it turns out that his schedule was just not able to be changed at that point. So it was one of the things that we ran into this week when we were trying to sort of squeeze in that 10-minute time slot. And you know, it's not as easy as just making a 10-minute phone call, so to speak. So there's a lot to keep track of on board, and we certainly understand that. As frustrating as it was, we definitely get it. And just more facts about the space station, just want to toss them out here. The space station travels an equivalent distance to the moon and back every day. So that's a pretty neat fact that, you know, even though the space station is in low Earth orbit, it is our only research station that we have at this point. And if you think about, you know, a model globe of the Earth, the space station would only be circling somewhere between a centimeter and an inch above that globe. It's really close to Earth, even though when you look up, it's 300 miles high. That's relatively close to Earth. And will lead eventually to hopefully a space station around the moon or a space station, other space stations, maybe even on Mars in the future. So we're really still in the infancy of our space programs. You think about onboard water recycling systems, all these things that basically are keeping humans alive on board. It's a tricky thing. As far as some of the more tech side of the space station, there are more than 50 computer control systems on the space station. I thought that was a really interesting thing. There are more than 3 million lines of code on the ground support team, 1.5 million lines of code for the flight software code. And with that, in the ISS's US segment alone, with those 1.5 million lines of flight software code running on 44 computers, they communicate via 100 data networks traveling, transferring 400,000 signals. that's a whole lot of stuff going on right there, just for one space station from the US side alone. Can you imagine? Now, who's currently on board the space station? So currently on the station, we talked about last week, we talked a little bit about Nick Hague. And I apologize if I mispronounce some of these words, but we have Alexei Avchinchin, Christina Koch, Anne McClain, Russian commander Oleg Kononenko, and David St. Jakes from Canada. So there's six astronauts on board the space station right now, and some of them just got there in March. They were supposed to arrive earlier in the year, but did not make it to the space station when the Soyuz anomaly happened and they had to abort the flight. So there's a lot of terminology that you hear about the space station. For instance, the word module is a self-contained unit of the spacecraft. So there are many modules that make up the International Space Station. Sometimes you'll hear the word truss. That's basically the main beam that serves as the space station's backbone that a lot of parts are connected to. Obviously, you have airlocks. It's a airtight room between the two entrances that will allow astronauts to go on spacewalks and get out of the ISS without letting air out of the spacecraft. And I mentioned earlier microgravity. It's a condition of being weightless, but very near the absence of gravity, but you still have some gravitational influence. So if you go to NASA.gov, there's a lot of information on the space station, including a timer that's counting the cumulative crew time on orbit. Very interesting photos taken by the astronauts, some of the ongoing research that's happening on the International Space Station, and really the ongoing effort to make this all publicly available to people so that, you know, students can take advantage of science on the space station or anyone who's interested. And I really like the fact that they're very open about what's going on the space station itself. So just some facts and figures about the International Space Station this week. As we gear up over the next couple of weeks, we are going to be talking a little bit more about the space station. Hopefully, let's see, today the recording is on May 9th. So we have a couple of weeks before space station contact now at this point. I will put a new link to the live stream when that happens. I will put it up on the website, mrptechreviews.com. It's been a crazy ride, I will tell you. This is 14 months of working on this, and we were all set and ready to go, and the rug was sort of swept out underneath us at the last minute, but we are hopeful to keep this going and sort of wrap this up before the end of the school year. We have a lot of students who are really excited about this, and some of the students next year probably wouldn't be available to do it. So we want to make sure to give these students an opportunity to do this. And I'm just now hearing really neat stories from some of the teachers here at the school district that I work in. One second grade student was really excited, was at home telling his mom late at night about how the school gets to talk with astronauts, and the second grader just kept talking and talking and talking about it, eventually fell asleep in his mother's lap. That story made it completely worthwhile, the whole effort, just to hear that story. We have students writing in journals. They're talking about how appreciative they are that they get to talk to astronauts. That really makes it worthwhile as well. And I've had students walk up to me and just thank me for doing this. And really, I'm doing it for the students. You know, this kind of came from a crazy idea. We were building an amateur radio station at the school and learned that you could make contact with the space station. I read about how to do it and said, hey, let's just try this. Let's go for it. And we have. So we started February 2018 with that idea. In March, we spent about 8 hours filling out the application process, and I had lots of help with that. We spent all day working on this one day. We submitted the application on the very first day that the date of acceptance was open, and we had a few weeks of a waiting period. We were then accepted and later had to submit an equipment plan in July. We were then given a mentor for the ARIS program in. And I sent the information as soon as we had the mentor available. We started talking in September. So September, October, November, December, we reviewed the equipment plan. We talked about how we wanted to do things. Some things didn't work out, so we changed our plans a little bit in January. And then in January, our technology grant went through and our new sound system in the auditorium was installed, so we were working on that, getting everything up and running so that it was available for the space station contact. And we've had, it's been a roller coaster ride. We've had people from the radio community volunteer to help and then back out at the last minute, or people who weren't involved are now involved. And it's just been up and down for this last while. So we were originally scheduled for the first week in April. When we changed our plans, it got bumped to April 29th, and I was unaware of that. I wasn't made aware that the date had changed, and then we had to reschedule because of that. So we ended up scheduling for May 7th, and May 7th got pushed back due to the SpaceX rocket launch over the weekend. We were trying like crazy for 4 days to try to make it happen this week. Just didn't happen, and I tell you what, this has been a learning experience, and I understand all of the moving pieces. I understand now how difficult it is to get things scheduled, and I do appreciate all of their help and an effort this week, because they really came to light to try to support the school district. They really were very sorry that this had to happen, and they did everything they could, from the ARIS scheduler, talking with the NASA schedulers, trying to figure out the space station schedule. And on top of that, the astronauts are on Moscow time on board the International Space Station. So there's so many moving parts to this, and you know, there's an old saying that space is hard, you know, we're starting to see that now here with just our you know, tiny school district trying to do big things here. So thanks for your patience as you're trying to listen to this, and hopefully you find some of this as interesting. I was really hoping to be able to provide you with some of the audio from the live stream this week, but that'll be in a few weeks. We're determined to make this happen, and we're gonna make sure everything that we can. And you know, Adam Savage from MythBusters always says failure is always an option. Well, not for me. You know, I know many four-letter words, but fail is not one I like to use very often. So we're gonna make this happen. We're determined to make this happen, and we're really excited that in a couple weeks we'll have another opportunity to do that. So, all right, everybody, thanks for listening. That's going to be it for this week. I appreciate you sticking with me in this podcast. And if you have ideas for shows, send them in. Email to me, mrptechreviews@gmail.com. It would be great to hear from listeners. Tell other people about the show, too, and spread the word for me. that's going to do it for this week. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.